Louis took his slate and told Sam about the fight with the keepers, about how the head man wanted to keep Serena captive by clipping the tip of one wing. He told Sam it would ruin his life if Serena were to lose the power to fly. He explained that as soon as his father's debts were paid, and the trumpet honestly belonged to him, he and Serena intended to leave civilization and return to a wild life. "The sky," he wrote on his slate, "is my living room. The woods are my parlor. The lonely lake is my bath. I can't remain behind a fence all my life. Neither can Serena. She's not built that way. Somehow or other, we must persuade the head man to let Serena go." Sam stretched out on the shore of Bird Lake and clasped his hands behind his head. He looked up at the great, wide sky. It was a clear blue with small white clouds floating slowly across. Sam knew how Louis felt about freedom. For a long time he lay there, thinking. Ducks and geese swam slowly by, back and forth, an endless procession of captive birds. They seemed happy and well. Curiosity, felicity, and apathy. The three trumpeters swam by and peered at the strange boy lying on the ground. Finally, Sam sat up. "Listen, Louis," he said, "how's this for an idea? You and Serena intend to raise a family every year, don't you?"
"Certainly," replied Louis on his slate.
"Okay," said Sam. "In every family of cygnets, there is always one that needs special care and protection. Bird Lake would be a perfect place for this one little swan that needs extra security. This is a beautiful lake, Louis. This is a great zoo. If I can persuade the head man to let Serena remain free, would you be willing to donate one of your cygnets now and then if the zoo needs another swan for the lake? If you agree, I'll go right in and see the head man about the matter." It was now Louis's turn to think and think. After 5 minutes, he picked up his slate. "Very well," he wrote. "It's a deal." Then he picked up his trumpet. "Oh, ever in the greening spring," he played, "by bank and bough retiring." The waterfowl stopped swimming and listened. The keepers stopped what they were doing and listened. Sam listened. The head man in his office in the birdhouse laid down his pencil, leaned back in his chair, and listened. The sound of Louis's horn was in the air, and the whole world seemed better and brighter and wilder and freer and happier and dreamier.
"That's a good tune," said Sam. "What is it?"
"Oh, just something I made up myself," wrote Louis on his slate.